Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, April 16, 2024, Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. In these things we pray, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hal Lindsey, the Mideast feud has been lit. Iran's promised attack on Israel arrived Friday, April 12th. The world now is holding its breath, fearful that an Israeli reprisal will keep that volatile region spiraling toward a greater war. I believe Bible prophecy indicates that the present conflict will not immediately turn into the global conflagration which so many now fear. But it is part of a pattern that will eventually lead to Armageddon. Before Friday's attack, Israeli Foreign Minister Israel Katz wrote on social media, quote, "If Iran attacks from its own territory, Israel will respond and attack in Iran." Well, Iran did exactly what it was warned against. Instead of using its proxies in the region, Iran hit Israel with a massive attack, almost all of which clearly emanated from Iran. How could they have turned to groups like the Houthis in Yemen to fight for them? The whole point was to try and save face. You see, the Houthis are among the most impoverished people on earth, but they are also Shiite Muslims, and they are funded by Iran. And they take their orders from the Ayatollah. Now, they can't even feed their own people, but Iran sends them expensive and sophisticated ballistic missiles, which can reach all the way across the vast territory of Saudi Arabia and Jordan and into Israel. If Iran had relied primarily on the poor Houthis and other subordinate Shiite groups to take revenge on Israel, then Iran would have seemed afraid to stand up for itself. The United States and other allies of Israel helped shoot down the barrage of drones and missiles coming out of Iran. President Biden supported Israel's defensive action, but he says he will not support Israel in any kind of military retaliation against Iran. He wants Israel to ignore the fact that Iran just sent over 300 cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, and drones from its own territory directly into Israel. Ironically, the U.S. told Iran that if it attacks the United States in any way, we will retaliate. So we will retaliate, but we tell Israel they better not retaliate. Why the double standard? Because if Israel attacks Iran the way Iran attacked Israel, Israel would do it successfully, inflicting massive damage on Iran. They might take advantage of the opportunity and destroy as much of Iran's nuclear infrastructure as possible. In response, Hezbollah, another Iranian proxy, might join Iran in launching a massive missile attack on Israel. This could mean not just hundreds, but hundreds of thousands of missiles striking Israel, many from Hezbollah territory in nearby Lebanon. The growing U.S. presence in the region helped Israel quell the Friday attack. But it made those U.S. assets targets. Should the Shiite coalition successfully strike the U.S. military, it would require a U.S. military response. Would that trigger Iran's alliances with nuclear powers China and Russia? Their involvement could then trigger NATO's Article 5 and turn the present Middle East conflict into the next world war. That is why our president is afraid. And that's why world leaders are holding their breath. But Ezekiel chapter 38 indicates that both Iran and Israel will be alive and well for the future war that it describes. Ezekiel 38 verse 11 says that Israel will at that time be a land of unwalled villages. It says the people there will be at rest and will be living securely. Now that does not describe Israel today, but it sounds like the time in the tribulation when the Antichrist peace treaty with Israel is made. The treaty which kicks off the 7-year tribulation period. I do not believe the present conflict will immediately escalate into a global conflagration. But it does seem to be part of the general buildup in that direction. The fear and loathing now being experienced by the world's nations is a fuse that has been lit, and it will eventually make them desperate enough to facilitate the rise of the Antichrist in the tribulation. All right, that's your introduction to Joel chapter 2. Joel 2, 28 to 32, the last paragraph of chapter 2. Joel, we've exegeted Joel 2, verses 28 and 29. It sounds like this. Verse 28, and it will come about after this that I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning. Your young men will see visions in the ecstatic state. Verse 29. And even on the male and female slaves, servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. That is the golden age of the millennial kingdom. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth at the second advent to conclude the 7-year tribulation period, conclude the end of the great tribulation. He will rescue those believers and deliver them into the millennial kingdom, the golden age, and all unbelievers on planet earth will go through the baptism of fire and be removed from the earth. When the golden age of the millennial kingdom begins, when Jesus Christ returns, it begins with believers only. And there will be perfect environment, world peace, great prosperity. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, will be ruling planet earth. Nations from all over the world will come to Jerusalem for Bible conferences all throughout that 1,000-year millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. The interpretation of Joel 2, verses 28 and 29, has been debated for centuries. Ever since Peter used it during his first sermon to the Jewish people who were gathered for the Feast of Pentecost. The question that is asked, were these verses fulfilled? Now that's a very important word. Were they fulfilled completely, partly, or not at all on the day of Pentecost? Well, there have been several positions held by so-called Bible scholars concerning the interpretation of Acts chapter 2, verses 16 to 21. There are actually 5 different interpretations from these so-called Bible scholars. There is the historical view, Joel's prophecy was fulfilled during the writing of the book of Joel. That's not correct. There is the fulfillment view, Joel's prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. That's incorrect. There is the typical view, Joel's prophecy was fulfilled in type on the day of Pentecost, but awaits greater fulfillment during the millennium. That's incorrect. There is the perpetual view, Joel's prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and will continue to be fulfilled throughout the church age and the millennium. And that is also incorrect. The fifth is the eschatological view, that Joel's prophecy was not fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, nor is it being fulfilled in the church age, but it awaits fulfillment at the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is the true view, the eschatological view. In fact, Peter never uses the word fulfilled. That word in the Greek is plerao. Looks like this in the Greek. P-L, long E-R-O, long O. Plerao. That's the Greek word fulfill, and Peter never uses the word fulfill, nor any other synonym to even suggest fulfillment in Acts chapter 2. In Acts 2:16, Peter says, but this is what was spoken. And the word there is lego. He uses lego, not plerao. This is what was spoken. This is what he said. So, but this is what was spoken. This is what was stated by the prophet Joel. There's no word plerao. So what is Peter saying? The context in Acts chapter 2 shows that some Jews were mocking the apostles who had spoken to the people in their own languages. And they had come from all over the world. And here they were giving the gospel, the grace gospel, the good news of Christ in their languages. There's no way that they could know those languages. They thought that Peter and the other Christians were drunk. And they said so in Acts 2, 1 to 15. In order to counter the Jewish mockers, Peter says, this is similar to what Joel said would happen when God pours out his Spirit on all flesh prior to the establishment of the millennial kingdom, the golden age. Although many Christians believe Acts 2, 16 to 21 is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, Peter is very careful through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to omit the verb plerao. There is no plerao. There is no verb of fulfillment or being fulfilled. And another reason why Joel's prophecy was not fulfilled at Pentecost is because Joel said God would pour out his Spirit on all mankind. Everyone living on planet Earth at that time. And it's only believers that go into the millennium. God would pour out his Spirit on all mankind. At Pentecost, God did not pour his Spirit on all mankind, only on a few people. Most of the world were unbelievers. The millennium begins with believers only. So the Spirit poured out on all mankind. But at Pentecost, there were very few believers. So God did not pour his Spirit on all mankind at Pentecost. Rather, he poured out his Spirit on a select group of people. God will not pour out his Spirit on all mankind until the millennial kingdom, the golden age of the millennium. Another reason why Joel's prophecy was not fulfilled on the day of Pentecost is clearly seen in Acts 2, 19 and 20. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. Well, that didn't happen on Pentecost. And this is what we have in Joel 2, verse 31. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and terror-stricken day of the Lord. So Acts 2, 16 to 21 is a parallel type of situation, but it is not the fulfillment of Joel 2, 28 to 32. The prophecy of Joel 2, 28 to 32 is a spiritual phenomenon. And likewise, the day of Pentecost was a spiritual phenomenon. That is, believers on the day of Pentecost, 30 AD, can no more be charged with drunkenness than the tremendous spiritual phenomenon that will occur in the millennial kingdom. What happened on the day of Pentecost is parallel to what will happen at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, but it is not the fulfillment of Joel 2, 28 to 32. Also, the church age is declared to be mysterion. Technical word. We get the word mystery from it. Mysterion. M-U-S-T, long E-R-I-O-N. Mysterion means church age truth was not known about in the Old Testament times. This is the mystery dispensation. So the church age is a part of mysterion, mystery truth, and was not even known about in Old Testament times. And therefore, Joel was not prophesying about Pentecost. Rather, he was prophesying about the millennial kingdom. So again, Joel 2, 28 and 29. And it will come about after this, I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. Not just a few, every single person on planet Earth. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning, your young men will see visions in the ecstatic state, and even on the male and female slaves, servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days in the millennial kingdom. Now we started to summarize verses 28 and 29, and I gave you 4 points before we ran out of time last week. So let's note those first four and then continue on. We noted that first of all, point one, in the millennial kingdom, God the Holy Spirit will be manifested in all His fullness. He'll be manifested in all His fullness. The ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the millennial kingdom will be much greater than during any other period of human history. Point two, one of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the millennial kingdom is not only providing for ecstatics and prophesying and visions, but also there's going to be perfect environment on planet Earth. There's going to be world peace. There won't be any militaries. There won't be any wars. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, is ruling planet Earth. And there will be minimal crime, almost no crime. And therefore, point two, one of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the millennial kingdom will be the restraining of sin and human good and evil. Minimal crime. And by the way, if you commit a capital crime in the millennial kingdom, you'll be tried, judged, and executed. Capital punishment. Now, if you only live, the Bible says if you only live to be about 200 or 300 years old, you are a criminal. You committed a capital crime. Otherwise, you'll live the whole 1,000 years. So you see, 300 years, you would have been a bad boy, see. Point three, Satan is imprisoned in the abyss. Throughout the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, Satan is imprisoned in the abyss, Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Point four, in the millennial kingdom, Satan is no longer the ruler of planet Earth. Rather, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, is the ruler of planet Earth. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, there is no spiritual counterfeit because demonic activity is non-existent. Satan is in prison for the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. The remnant of believers who have been rescued by Jesus Christ at the second advent and delivered and brought into the millennial kingdom will go into the millennium with their human bodies, still having an old sin nature. And in the millennium, they will give birth to children who are born physically alive and spiritually dead. Adam's original sin imputed to the genetically formed sin nature, and therefore they are in the status of spiritual death. And that means the children of these believers who go into the millennium will be they're born unbelievers, and they will need to be born again, regeneration, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. They are living in the millennial kingdom with perfect environment, perfect prosperity, world peace, perfect health, perfect righteousness and justice, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Jesus Christ is here on earth, ruling planet Earth, and they see him. They see the ruler of planet Earth, and yet multitudes will refuse to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Multitudes and multitudes will reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. In fact, the Bible says the number of unbelievers at the end of the millennium is like the sand on the seashore. This just blows me away. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. When the 1,000 years are over, the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on planet Earth, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle, and in number they are like the sand on the seashore. Now that just blows me away. That's how many unbelievers there will be at the end of the millennial kingdom. Starts out with believers only. They have been rescued by Jesus Christ from the great tribulation. They brought into the millennium, and they're in their physical bodies, and they will procreate, and they'll have children. And for 1,000 years, every time there's a child born, he's born an unbeliever, physically alive, spiritually dead. And he must have regeneration, faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, over that period of 1,000 years, with Jesus Christ, the King of all kings, ruling planet Earth. They see him. Absolute righteousness, perfect justice, perfect government, perfect peace, perfect environment. And they refuse to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. I've had people say, well, if Jesus Christ were here, I'd believe in Him. Jesus Christ is going to be ruling planet Earth for 1,000 years, and the number of people that will not believe in Him are like the sand at the seashore. Revelation 27 and 8. So, point five. In Isaiah chapter 60, that chapter, we have the glory of Israel in the millennial kingdom. Isaiah chapter 60, 6. God the Holy Spirit will be the power for every aspect of the believer's life during the millennial kingdom. God the Holy Spirit will be the power for every aspect of the believer's life during the millennial kingdom. Ezekiel 36, turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, 27 and 28. And I will put my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And you will live in the land I gave your forefathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. There will be phenomenal spiritual unity in the millennium. God the Holy Spirit will be manifested in every aspect of the believer's life and fellowship. Point seven. This will result in a grace-righteous life, great inner happiness and peace, which is manifested in worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, believers from all over planet Earth will travel to Jerusalem for Bible conferences to get the teaching of the absolute truth of the Word of God right from the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. 8. God the Holy Spirit will give the Lord Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge to rule the world with righteousness and justice. And the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. God the Holy Spirit will give the Lord Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge to rule the whole world with righteousness and justice, and the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. Great chapter on the millennial kingdom. Great chapter on the Messiah, the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. This is the millennium. It's not too hard to figure out that this is the millennial passage, because we got wolves living with lambs, but not eating them, just living with them and their buddies, and they play together and things like that, you know. Isaiah 11, verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. This is the Messiah. This is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Son of David, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the destitute, and with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, and he will slay the reversionists. Righteousness will be his belt, and truth the sash around his waist. And the wolf will live with the lamb. They'll be buddies, playmates. The leopard will lie down with the goat, not to eat the goat, but to enjoy their company. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. And the cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. And the infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest, and they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. For the believer in Jesus Christ, the second advent of the Lord will be a great, great celebration. Great happiness. The golden age is here. But for the unbeliever at the second advent will be a time of terrifying judgment, the baptism of fire. All unbelievers removed from the earth. So, every one of us, we have an obligation and the responsibility as royal ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ to present the good news of the grace gospel to those who are lost. The only guarantee man has for peace and security in this life and the one to come is salvation in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So, let us be about the Father's business. Again, Joel 2, 28 and 29. And it will come about after this, I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning. Your young men will see visions in the ecstatic state. And even on the male and female servants, slaves, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. In the millennial kingdom. So a question. Will there be any signs when the prophecy of Joel 2, 28 and 29 will take place? Glad you asked that. Yes, there will. Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31. Joel 2, 30 and 31 gives us the signs preceding the day of the Lord, specifically the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth and the establishment of his millennial kingdom. Joel chapter 2, verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. We have the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal perfect of the verb nathan, plus the masculine plural of mophate, plus the preposition bath, prefix to the plural of the noun shamai, the plural is shamayim, and the conjunction vav, prefix to the preposition bath, which is prefix to the noun eretz. The conjunction vav looks like that. Vav. The conjunction vav is a vav conversive. It converts the perfect tense of nathan into an imperfect, and the imperfect therefore has the form of a future tense. And then we have the verb nathan. You know anyone named Nathan? Their name is from the Hebrew word nathan. Nathan literally means to give, or to put, or to set. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew lexicon, page 679, tells us that when nathan is used with the noun mophate, as it does in our verse, then it means to display, to exhibit, to set forth. When God gives a sign, a wonder, a miracle, then nathan should be correctly translated to display. The first person singular subject, I, refers to the Lord your God. And what is the Lord your God displaying? Mophate. Looks like that in the Hebrew, M long O P H E T, mophate. A couple of things on mophate. One, mophate means a wonder, a sign, a miracle. It's the Hebrew word for a wonder, a sign, a miracle. Two, it is a wonder as a special display of God's power. It is a wonder as a special display of the omnipotence of God, God's power. Three, the plural. The second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth will be preceded by several miraculous signs. The second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth will be preceded by several miraculous signs. Now, these miraculous signs are said to occur. They will take place in two different places. First of all, Bashamayim, in the heavens. And then secondly, Uba'aretz, on the earth. So two places. In the heavens, this is the preposition Beth. It means in, plus the plural noun shamayim, heavens. The miraculous signs that will occur in the heavens are given in verse 31. And then we have uba'aretz, the conjunction vav with continuative vav, and preposition beth once again means in. Eretz is the earth. The miraculous signs that will occur in the earth are now given in the rest of Joel 2, verse 30. And three miraculous signs are given in the rest of verse 30. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. This is the noun dam plus the conjunction vav, prefix of the noun esh, plus the conjunction vav, prefix of the plural construct of timarah, plus the noun ashan. First of all, miraculous sign number one, mophate number one. Miraculous sign number one is dam. You see it? That's dam in the Hebrew. Some of you say, no, that's dam. No, dam is D-A-M-N. This is dam. This is dam, is the Hebrew word for blood. Miraculous sign number one, blood. One, blood describes the horrific judgment of human life on planet Earth in the day of the Lord, the Great Tribulation. This is the end of the great tribulation when Jesus Christ returns to planet Earth. So blood describes the horrific judgment of human life on planet Earth in the day of the Lord, the great tribulation. Two, when the fourth seal judgment is opened, 1/4 of the world's population will be killed. When the fourth seal judgment is opened, 1/4 of the world population will be killed. I hope you have your Bibles. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. All right. Revelation 6, verse starting at verse 7. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creatures say, come. I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. So when the fourth seal judgment is opened, 1/4 of the world population will be killed. Revelation 6, 7, and 8. 3. At the second trumpet judgment, 1/3 of the sea will be turned into blood. See, the first miraculous sign is Dom, blood. At the second trumpet judgment, 1/3 of the sea will be turned into blood, and 1/3 of the living creatures in the sea will die. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, verse 8. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. 1/3 of the sea turned into blood. 1/3 of the living creatures in the sea died. And 1/3 of the ships were destroyed. So we're in our first miraculous sign, Dom, blood. At the second trumpet judgment, 1/3 of the sea will be turned into blood. 1/3 of the living creatures in the sea will die. Point 4. At the sixth trumpet judgment, 1/3 of mankind will be killed. At the sixth trumpet judgment, 1/3 of mankind will be killed. Revelation 9. Look over Revelation 9. Verse 13, Revelation 9, verse 13. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. These are fallen angels, demons that have been incarcerated, as it were, at the great river Euphrates. Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates, and the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill 1/3 of mankind. These are demons. This is a demon assault army. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow with sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues, still, I want you to concentrate, they still did not repent. They did not change their thinking. They did not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They did not repent of the work of their hand. They did not stop worshiping demons. They continued to worship demons. And idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent, change their thinking and of their murders. And then you might have something like magic arts. No. No, this is drug addiction. The Greek word is pharmakia. Looks like that in the Greek. Pharmakeia. We get our word pharmacy from this word pharmakia. This is drug addiction. Nor did they repent of their murders, their drug addiction, their sexual immorality, or their theft. They continued on. 5. At the second bowl judgment, the remaining sea will turn to blood, causing all sea creatures to die. At the second bowl judgment, the remaining sea will turn into blood. This is the first miraculous sign. Dom, blood. So at the second bowl judgment, the remaining sea will turn into blood, causing all sea creatures to die. Turn over to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Revelation 16, verse 3. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. Revelation 16, verse 3. Point 6. In the Armageddon campaign, blood will reach to the horses' bridles. That's about 4.5 feet deep. For a distance of 180 miles. In the Armageddon campaign, blood will reach to the horses' bridles about 4.5 feet for a distance of 180 miles. Look at Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 19. The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out from the press, rising as high as the horse's bridle, about 4.5 feet, for a distance of 180 miles. Look over at Revelation 16. Revelation 16, verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for battle on the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays alert and keeps his clothes with him. You want to do that? So that he may not be naked and be shamefully exposed. And then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. So in the Armageddon campaign, blood will reach to the horses' bridles, 4.5 feet deep for a distance of 180 miles. 7. The blood also refers to the slaughter of believers in the day of the Lord by the Antichrist and ecumenical religion. The blood also refers to the slaughter of believers in the day of the Lord by the Antichrist and ecumenical religion. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17. Verse 1. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute." The great prostitute is ecumenical religion in the tribulation. Ecumenical religion is the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. Ecumenical religion. And then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert, and there I saw a woman, ecumenical religion, the prostitute, sitting on a scarlet beast, the Antichrist, that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She had a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. And this title was written on her forehead: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman, ecumenical religion, was drunk with the blood of the saints. Ecumenical religion will be persecuting and killing Christians throughout the tribulation period. She was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. And when I saw her, I was greatly astonished. That's the first miraculous sign, blood. That brings us to miraculous sign number 2, fire. If you come back next week, Pastor Olson will be on fire for the Lord. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.